He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is coming again? How do you know that? Because it's deep calling unto deep. It's the Holy Spirit of God crying out, Abba, I love you, Father. There's something there. The Holy Spirit's given to you as a guarantee until the day of redemption. There's something there that you know. What am I going to do with these facts?
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, Your Labor is Not in Vain, and is from the sermon series, Answers for a Confused Church. Pastor Shane reminds us of the faithfulness of God and that He is trustworthy to complete His good and perfect work in us through Christ. Be encouraged today to walk in the love of Jesus, holding on to the truth that God who loves you is working all things together for your good. Be filled with the overflow of the Holy Spirit and give thanks in all your circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Westside Christian Fellowship. We are excited to announce the return of our Saturday night church services to Lancaster Stadium every Saturday this summer at 6:45 p.m. beginning June 12th and running through the month of August. The only exception is June 26th. There will be powerful worship along with life-changing messages. And if you need prayer, motivation, hope, and encouragement, I hope to see you every Saturday this summer beginning June 12th at 6:45 p.m. at Lancaster Stadium.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
Your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. And I don't know why, but I've been reading biographies of our presidents. I finished Jackson, Andrew Jackson, in August, September. Then I went and read Ulysses S. Grant. And now I'm Abraham Lincoln. Big, thick biographies. I guess it's a good way to fall asleep at night. But one thing I noticed, I could not believe, I had to look it up this morning, is Lincoln kept failing in politics. Did you know that? He ran for office, I think it was a half dozen times. Didn't get in Illinois. He just kept, they don't want this guy. Then finally he becomes the president of the United States. And what a president he was. And I mean the pictures, they show pictures and how much he aged over 10 years and the stress of a divided nation. And we think we're divided now. It was really divided then. When he gave his famous speech, "A house divided against itself will not stand." Many friends actually encouraged him, remove that. The nation is not ready for this. You're calling for a civil war. And he fought and he spoke against, obviously, the incredible, horrific practice of slavery. He spoke against the Dred Scott decision, which that was where a slave was brought into free country, and he thought he should be free, which of course he should be, but the U.S. Supreme Court saw that differently. And he fought for that, and so many people fought for that. That were good men, and that's what you, and good women. You have to remember that America should not be marked by her past only, but also by those who did good in the midst of evil. America wasn't evil. Men and women became evil and did evil things overall. And actually, a nation isn't evil. Politics isn't evil. It depends on the character of the people pushing the buttons. That's what we have to remember going into this coming election as well. So I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. And I actually, I'm in a praying mood, so we might as well keep going. I want to pray for some families that their kids are pretty sick, including my kids. Two of my kids are home with a bad case of the flu. So let's just lift up. I want to lift up the Ameses family, Garza family, the Livingston family, Lord, and even our family. Those may be watching, even listening. Lord, we come against any type of demonic attacks in our homes. If these are due to demonic attacks against our families, we come against it in Jesus' name. We plead the blood. We ask for healing, even if it's the body. Lord, just breaking down and becoming sick, would you start to heal heal those children tonight, Lord. As they sleep, I pray that they would wake up feeling good. You are the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. You heal, you set free, and we pray, we ask according to your will, Lord, that you would do this. The people listening that are sick, even with cancer, pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, bone cancer, Lord, we ask you begin to heal in Jesus' name. Touch them where they're at. Bring comfort in those homes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And I got a report that we had an incredible Wednesday morning prayer meeting, right? A couple of you were there. Amen. And I'm like, I always miss the good ones. And so Wednesday mornings in Quartz Hill, West Lancaster, they meet at 6 a.m. and it might go till 8 a.m. It's interceding for our nation. Revival starts in the prayer meeting. If you want to see God move in your homes, move in this church, move in our community, move in our nation, it always begins in the prayer meetings. It doesn't begin by me preaching a sermon, here comes revival. It's usually the prayer meetings and people looking and seeking God. So with that said, 1 Corinthians 15, what I mean by your labor is not in vain, we're going to get to that in a minute, but you have to remember a very important principle in God's kingdom, and I want you to leave here encouraged with this, because if anyone has lived this out, it's me. Have you ever planted and not saw any produce? Have you ever did things? I remember we launched the church, it's 200 people on the first night, and we're at 50 within a few months, you know, and everything's just falling apart, and Bible studies, and you're down to two people, and trying to do things for God, and just there's no fruit. You're praying for you pray, and actually things seem like things are getting worse. But in God's kingdom, the way God does things, your labor is never in vain. If I know anything now, it's God is always working behind the scene. God is always doing something in his timing. And just because we don't see the fruit doesn't mean the seed hasn't been planted and that it's being watered and nourished. And so what we do then as Christians, we walk in something called faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I believe that many times when our prayers aren't answered or when things aren't happening, it's to stretch and test our faith. God isn't concerned with the timetable. He's not out of money. He's not worried about this or that and kind of wringing his hands. It's all about God's timing and building and encouraging our faith. For example, you're praying for a loved one. God, would they please come to you? I'm begging you, Lord. I'm praying over your word, and I just don't see it, so I'm going to get frustrated, and I'm going to forget about it. Or do you just keep pressing in, saying, God, I trust you even though I don't see it? That's faith. That without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. How ridiculous is that? It's believing in something that is not yet seen, because that's true trust. Do you trust God for $1,000 if it's already in your bank account? Or do you trust, no, and I'm not a name it and claim it, you know, prosperity guy, but I think financial, God does bless financially, and God can open doors, and we can trust in God if we're stewarding and our money well and using our time wisely and doing all the things we know to do. So your labor is not in vain. Be encouraged tonight. If you're praying for somebody, if you're waiting on God, if you're waiting for a situation, it might not happen, but you will come out of that stronger and better. I've talked to people who maybe have went through a hard divorce 20 years ago, and they were praying and they were praying and they were praying, and it never worked out. The marriage was never restored. But looking back, they thank God for that time where they sought him with all their heart, with all their strength. And God used that to draw them back to him. So here now Paul is writing 1 Corinthians. He's writing to the church in Corinth. We talked about 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not to be ignorant and be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not gullible. Does it line up with Scripture? And then 1 Corinthians 13 is the famous love chapter. Paul talks about you can do wonderful things for God, but if you have not love, it profits you nothing. And then 1 Corinthians 14 is on tongues and prophecy, and I taught on that for over an hour, so you can find that sermon on our website. If you just put in tongues, it should come up. And that's a controversial topic in and of itself, amen? So we just look at what the Bible says. That's where I find a lot of peace in looking what the Bible says, not a lot of opinions. Well, yeah, but I've seen weird stuff, but this, well, Paul said this, and we take God at his word. So 1 Corinthians, now we're in 15, and I had to paraphrase some of this because there's so much here. But Paul says, moreover, brethren, in other words, okay, because of everything we talked about in 1 Corinthians 14, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. In other words, if you believed in vain, this is pointless. But if you believed in the steadfast, immovable love of God, and you repented, and you believed in God, this is for you. But it's interesting here, he said, you received it. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know who's listening. I don't know here. I don't recognize everyone every night. But the gospel has to be received. Isn't that interesting? Jesus dies for the world, but it has to be received. That gift of salvation has to be laid hold of. The heart has to be open, and you have to receive that wonderful gift from God. That's why it's called a gift. The good news has to be received. I think so many people forget about that. They think that belief is just intellectual knowledge. Well, they know about God. But the gospel, the good news, has to be received and taken into the heart. Amen. And then he said, in which you stand. So once you receive the gospel and you're saved by God's grace, you stand in that. That's your strength. Having done all, stand. Stand here with your loins girt about, your waist girt about with what? Truth. So that's part of the Christian faith, is standing and fighting and standing and fighting and resting and standing and fighting. It's not comfortable Christianity, what I talked about Sunday. There's no such thing. We need to just get that out of our mind. Microwave comfortable Christianity has to go bye-bye. And you have to realize you have to stand. And then you're saved. You're saved by believing in the gospel, and then you hold fast to that word that that was given to you. What is hold fast? It's like holding on to in a way, such a way that where no one is going to take that out of your hand. You're holding on to the preciousness of the gospel. And if maybe you're doubting God today, it could be that you're following the wrong crowd. It could be you're listening to the wrong voices, the wrong influences that might be pulling you away from God. So persevering through adversity is the model of the Christian faith. It's the norm. It's what we should expect. Now, that can be a little encouraging because we get discouraged, don't we, when we have to persevere? Or is it just me? Please don't leave me hanging. When I have to persevere, that can get discouraging. Anyone get tired of fighting? What is going on? But just remember, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is tested. We always have to persevere. It's part of who we are. If you are a Christian, you are called to persevere. Persevere in the midst of adversity. Persevere in the midst of not everyone agreeing with you. Perseverity in standing on the truth of God's word and seeing through to the end. And then he said in verse 3, for I deliver to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Now check this out. This is the gospel in one sentence. Everything is going to be summed up in what we believe right here. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas, which is Peter, and by the 12. Well, Shane, how is that the gospel? Well, that's what it is. Jesus died for our sins, and he rose again. I don't think people realize how important the resurrection is. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. Your faith is in vain. Jesus died, he never rose again, it all falls apart. And I find it interesting that eyewitness accounts still continue. Now you might say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Now there are, of course, many, many people, Muslims primarily, who have had dreams and have seen Jesus, and Jesus saves them in those dreams. There's too many, too numerous. But what I'm talking about is something a little bit different. I'm talking about the eyewitness account, meaning that deep calls into deep. My spirit cries out, Abba, Father. That's the one thing as a believer in Jesus Christ you have that's different, that separates you from every person on the planet. The Holy Spirit of God is residing in your heart. So when the Jehovah Witness sat in my house for 2 hours, they didn't have what I had. The witness of the Holy Spirit crying out, Abba, Father, not get away from me, Father. And we have that eyewitness account, so to speak, the witness of the Spirit. And that's deep. Sometimes that's deeper than what my eye sees. But what my heart believes, what your heart knows, do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is coming again? How do you know that? Because it's deep calling unto deep. It's the Holy Spirit of God crying out, Abba, I love you, Father. There's something there. The Holy Spirit's given to you as a guarantee until the day of redemption. There's something there that you know. But even without that, there's many testimonies that Peter saw Jesus who rose again. And they talk about 500 witnesses seeing that Jesus rose again. Now, why is this so important? Well, many of you who've been Christians for some time, you know what I'm about to tell you, but some people don't. Maybe young adults don't know this. The majority of the disciples, of course, the first 11 of 12, who said they saw Jesus again after He was crucified, that He rose again. They believed it so much that they actually gave their life for that. See, they're not going to die for a lie. As soon as you go get Peter, he's going to say, okay, hold on. He's under that rock. Don't cut my head off. But these guys were hung upside down, beheaded, or speared because they would not deny that they saw Jesus again. Hundreds and hundreds of witnesses. See, that's what led Lee Strobel, the famous atheist, to finally commit his life to the Lord. That's what leads many people. They have to realize, okay, Jesus was not a fable. He's a real historical figure. He lived. People died horrific deaths because they said that they saw him and he lived. So what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with these facts? And that's why we don't just, Christians don't check their brains at the door. You ever hear that? Oh, you guys are just, I don't know, CNN was making fun of all of you recently, saying that you're just a bunch of immature idiots, you don't know anything, if you're conservative and different things. But they think you just check your brains at the door. Actually, you know, you don't, you use your brains. And you say, I know I just didn't get here. I know how does order come out of chaos? How does something come out of nothing? You use your brain, actually. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. It's foolish. So don't ever think that you are stupid and that you're just naive. Actually, those who deny that there is a God are, well, I won't say stupid, naive, but you get the picture, right? Foolish. And that's what is so true. Because who is going to think that all of this just happened? That we're here? What about the moral code that we have within us? No matter where you go, people know the difference between right and wrong. That was given by a moral law giver. You have a moral law giver. You have a creation. You have all these things shouting, there is a God. There is a God. It's very clear. So he's talking here about the witnesses that saw Jesus after the resurrection. And then verse 9, Paul is saying here, for I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Why is he saying that? Because I persecuted the church of God. This is interesting. When Judas Iscariot was obviously removed, they found out he was not truly a follower of Christ. They said, well, what should we do? Let's cast lots to find the 12th apostle. They should have went to God because God already had him picked out. I believe it was the Apostle Paul. Jesus appeared to him. He called him. I believe that was the 12th apostle. I believe that's who Jesus called. And Jesus met him face to face. And he was shocked because he actually persecuted the church. He was going to harass and imprison Christians. He was on the road to Damascus, and God met him. Boy, did he ever. When God meets you and God wants to change your course, you will not win. Don't fight it. And God knocked him off his beast, redirect him. He said, I've called you to be a minister to the Gentiles. That's why he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. In other words, when God gave me his grace, it was not in vain. I got up and I fought the good fight of faith. I've persevered. I held steadfast. I was not perfect. I made mistakes, but by the grace of God, when he saved me and he called me, his work was not in vain. And you need to know that no matter how insignificant you think you are, God is doing a work in you somehow through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, it might seem like Paul is boasting, but he's not. Let me get to that in a minute. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. See, I believe those who have been forgiven much love much. I believe because of Paul's past of persecuting Christians when God saved him, he had a fervency and a fire to serve God. And that should be an encouragement to some of you who have a checkered past, as they would say. Are you proud of your past? Have you messed up? Use that as a propellant. A fuel, nitrous oxide. You ever been in one of those vehicles? I have. I was in a Ford Mustang, almost killed myself. On Avenue I, after I left Schooners. In the 1990s, I borrowed my friend's Mustang and I hit that nitrous oxide switch and I'm 120 miles an hour down Avenue I. No, that's not good. My point is, that drives me to God even more because I look at my past. Wasn't for the grace of God. So some of you need to stop beating yourself up about your past and thank God that he saved you and set you free and get back on the right path and get off the wrong one. Isn't that so true? The enemy of our soul will use our past. But those who've been forgiven much love much. And it's funny, early in the morning, 6 a.m. worship on Sundays, I've seen sometimes a dozen people at the altar. It's an incredible experience. You'd be amazed at what some of those people used to be. A couple felons, hardcore bikers, thieves, robbery, women that were giving themselves up to anybody that would date them, and just the brokenness on the altar, but because of that past, they're worshiping. Oh, it's hard to get the Pharisee to worship. It's hard to get those who have never had to pick themselves up out of the mire clay. And that song we sing, the resurrection, he is resurrecting me. So I don't encourage you to have a past, but if you do, it's something you're not proud of, you can use that to drive you more to Jesus and hold on tightly because of what he brought you through. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. Just wondering if I should edit the Schooner story out of the sermon. Oh, I'll never forget that. I woke up the next morning going, when you crash going that fast, you are not going home. But Paul seems to be here boasting what the Lord has done. Did you know that's okay if your heart's right? You don't go around boasting about what you have done, but you boast in what God has done. And I've been accused sometimes, oh, Shane, that sounds arrogant. Oh, your past, you did this. No, but look at what God has done. There's boasting, and look at what God has done. It's okay to tell people what he's done in your life.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. Please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.